T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Randy McMichael, going to join your boys for our midday party. And thank God Justin Timberlake won the voting in our Vision Computer Twitter poll. I know Randy McMichael is a big, big fan of Florida Georgia Line and Jimmy Buffett. So, Randy, apologies. That did not win. In fact, Justin Timberlake won. Are you with me, Randy? Do you absolutely abhor everything that has to do with Jimmy Buffett?
Well, first of all, I appreciate y'all having me on.
Yeah, hi, Randy.
I don't know a lot about Jimmy Buffett.
He sucks, Randy.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I mean, because I thought you were going to come a little stronger than that. Okay, let me ask you this. We've had all kinds of Vision Computer Twitter polls this week, Randy, and eventually we will get to this stupid game that will be played at 6:30 on Sunday. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What kind of escalator person are you, Randy? Do you stand on the escalator, or do you actually walk up and down the stairs?
Well, Rick, you've had this conversation. I'm a guy that it just depends. If it's the one at Colony Square, I'll usually walk up the escalator unless somebody's in front of me. If you're talking about at the airport, at the Atlanta airport, that thing's too high to walk up. I'll just sit there and wait. But I think it all depends on the person in front of you as how you should approach the escalator thing.
See, I'm lazy, so I'm chilling. That thing was built for you to ride. If you want to get exercise or you want to be in a hurry, there's a staircase right next to it that you can go ahead and motor your little butt right on up the stairs.
I agree with that. And we had some fun with, you remember when they were doing the elevator thing at Colony Square on the ninth floor? And I remember I just pushed the button. They had it covered. I pushed it anyways. I got on the elevator, and my partner, John Chuckery, walked 9 flights of stairs. So when we get to the bottom, he is drenched in sweat. And I agree with you, John. If you want to walk up an escalator, take the stairs.
Randy McMichael joining us here. We're clowning around a little bit. It's what we do for 4 hours, 10 to 2. Welcome to the party. Preacher Man and me and John yesterday went down the escalators together. And fortunately, me and Preacher Man went first, so we were able to walk down said escalators. And we look back at John, and there's John just standing. Yep. And there was a line of people behind him gathering and wanting to move in front of him. But it was hilarious because, like, John wasn't playing radio. He literally is a squatter on the escalator.
Well, first of all, y'all were able to catch Preacher Man after the show to go down the escalator with him because, you know, at 2 o'clock, Preacher Man is already on the elevator. So I don't know how y'all were able to catch him.
Well, here's the deal, Randy. Let me tell you, I you know, our show likes to do the crossover. Well, at 2 o'clock, Mark and I are done, so we're leaving. Well, of course, they're still talking for at least another 2 minutes. So I have to go down to Chick-fil-A and refill my drink. So by the time I had refilled my drink and was walking towards the escalator, these two knuckleheads had finally made it downstairs.
And there it is.
Look, Randy, we like to give back to the people. They like to hear us banter with Mike and Carl. So, and we have the gift of gab. And let's be honest, Mike and Carl don't normally stroll in here till 1:59. So it takes a few minutes to get out everything that we need to get out. We got Randy Mack with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We will talk Super Bowl eventually. What's some of the other Twitter madness we've gotten into this week? Oh, we were talking about who is the best entertainer of the last 10 years. Justin Timberlake got a new album out. We were trying to come up in the back with just 4 choices, and we couldn't narrow it down. If you just had to pick somebody last 10 years only, who's the best entertainer, Randy?
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you a guy who I didn't realize was that good until the Super Bowl. Bruno Mars gets busy, man. I mean, I really enjoy watching Bruno Mars do his thing. You know, you got to put Beyonce up in there. I think you're talking about somebody that can just sell out an arena and just carry a show. Definitely Justin Timberlake. I think he is so talented. I always thought he was a talented brother. And I don't know. I was going to come up with a country music singer.
What about, like Taylor Swift?
Man, please.
Thank you. That
was Mark Owen's choice. He was championing Taylor Swift.
Give me
Swift.
A break.
Oh, are you? Well, Caroline has him wrapped around her finger, so that's why he said Taylor.
If you're talking about baby girl, an artist that is talented and worldwide known and incredibly popular right now, that's Taylor Swift. We're not talking about what your musical tastes are. If the question is the most talented artist out there, she sold out the Georgia Dome 2 nights.
Who cares?
See, but that's your opinion. You're getting emotional about it.
No, I'm not. You are.
No, the question is, who's talented? Taylor Swift.
She's not that talented.
See, that's your opinion.
And she's built like a number two pencil.
That's fact.
Yeah, she's incredibly talented, and
no,
she makes
not.
More money than all of us.
Well, that's,
and she
that's
has
true.
A she has a great career, and she manages her money well. You can't argue the success of Taylor. I know she's not a sloppy biscuit, but you can't argue the success of Taylor.
I'm not
Swift.
Arguing the success. I'm arguing the talent level.
You
I think she's a I think she's a pop star candy
right.
ass.
No, you don't like her.
No.
You don't like her music.
Once again, opinion.
That's your
not
opinion.
Fact.
That's not a fact. The opinion. Is that she's a pop star candy.
Okay, I'm going to get highfalutin here for
artist.
A second. Have any of you in this room played music in a band, made an album, and been paid to play on stage? Because I have.
I have too.
So that makes my opinion fact-ish.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Randy, let's be honest. I make the best music on this station weekly when the Falcons
yes,
win, and I should be getting paid for those. So they're
yeah,
my.
I mean, they're great.
I was going to say, my opinion is that. Now, we got to ask something else. Rick also yesterday said Waffle House is hot garbage, and I said Pepsi is better than Coke. Do you agree with either one of those?
Well, I'll be honest with you, John. I can't really tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke. I don't drink soda, and the only time I've ever put Pepsi or Coke in a glass is because it has some liquor in it. So I really couldn't tell you the difference between the two. And Rick has lost his mind. That's all I'm going to say. Rick's lost his mind because, I mean, living in California for as long as I did, the first place I would go to when I got back in the South was the Waffle House. I mean, you can have it any time of day, and it's always good. So I'm not missing with that, Ricky.
I just have a problem with doing the pots and pans and the dishes and the forks and the knives and cleaning them right in front of me. And
well, you're not cleaning them?
No, I'm not. No, but they're cleaning them right in front of you. You see, like, you know, the fat dude who was at the table before you. You see, like, the remnants of his food, and it really grossed me out. One time, somebody they were cleaning the plates and the silverware with their bare hands, and I was like, I almost left. I finished my food, but I don't think I've been back. So that's
which
where I'm at with that.
You at which Waffle House are you at when they did that? Make sure I don't go there.
No comment. I don't want to mention a particular establishment. I'm just not a fan. Randy, I think I've got 31-16 as the final score on this stupid game that's going to be 6:30 on Sunday. You'll hear it here on the game. I got 31-16 Patriots. What you got in the game?
Well, okay, first of all, why is it stupid?
What, the game?
Yeah.
Because I don't like either team, and I don't like either fan base even more, and I want it to be a tie. I want Tom Brady to suffer a bacchiotomy, and I want Eagles fans to go home unhappy. That's where I'm at with this game.
Wow, that's kind of rough. I think it's going to be a really good game, actually, Rick. I truly do. I've been saying this to myself for a couple of days about this game. And remember Mike Tyson said, you know, everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Patriots are the team that has a game plan after they get punched in the face. And this is all about adjustment after adjustment. And I think Coach Peterson is a phenomenal offensive mind. But you can't do like the Falcons did. Like Seattle, you can't play not to lose against the Patriots. They say keep the ball away from Tom Brady. You can't do that. You got to stay in attack mode. I think the Eagles have the right kind of offensive mind as a head coach to stay in attack mode.
We got Randy Mack with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. One of the things also, Randy, when Tom Brady has issues, and it's very few and far between, it's teams that can pressure him, hit him, and consistently hit him and pressure him. Philly seems like with Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry and those guys, they can do that. Do you think they can do it for four quarters?
That's the thing about it because, John, you remember last year the Falcons were beating up Tom Brady. They were beating him up. They made adjustments in their protection, and I think they can do that again. I mean, we all know how you beat Tom Brady. Everybody says you got to get up. You got to get pressure in the middle in his face, and you got to find a way to get him on the ground. The thing about it is that when you look at how the Eagles pressure – the Eagles' pressure comes more or less when they have the lead. So they can get ahead and just keep coming after and keep coming after them. They can beat them. But if it's a tight game, they're not going to beat them because what the Patriots are going to do, they're going to cut his drop down to three steps, get the ball out of his hand, take those four-yard passes, and just work their way down the field and beat you.
Randy, I just find it hard to believe that a backup quarterback and you know Doug Peterson in his second year are just going to beat the GOATs. I don't believe it. Last year, I said to everybody, inexperience, schmin experience, okay? I said, we're better, and we're going to go out there and prove it. And then the game happened, and we saw that literally the Patriots won that game because of previous experience and us not being there. That literally was kind of what it came down to. So I was wrong about my pregame evaluation on that. But I'm not going to be wrong 2 years in a row. You can fool me once, Randy, but you can't fool me twice. So I just don't believe that Doug Peterson is going to stare down the master, the GOAT, and beat him in the chess game. And I don't believe that Nick Foles is going to be able to stare down the other GOAT and beat him.
Well, I'll tell you what. After that Dallas game against Philly, I was like, there's no way in the world they can compete with anybody. And you saw why they were a home underdog in the playoffs as the number one seed. But then the adjustments that he made in those 2 weeks, I mean, those 2 weeks between games, to go back and look at all the film that makes that shows what Nick Foles does well, they did that. Now, what Bill Belichick does, we all know, they say he takes what you do best away. Now, what does Philly do best on offense? You really don't know. So I think they're going to come out in a zone defense, keep everything in front of them, and see how Doug Peterson adjusts to that. But, Rick, I'm with you. I don't believe that the experience factor. I don't think experience is why the Falcons lost the game. I think they lost the game because they didn't coach well down the stretch. But when you're talking about this Philadelphia team, they got weapons galore. And I think the matchup for me, guys, is Malcolm Jenkins and Gronk. I think whoever wins that battle has a chance to win the game.
Randy, I say I think Gronk's going to win MVP of the Super Bowl. I know there was a concussion that happened a couple of weeks ago. He's back. He gives Tom Brady the number one target that he wants. And Malcolm Jenkins, as good as he is as a defensive player, that's a different animal guarding that big guy at tight end.
You're right. You're right, John. And I heard Malcolm even say it. I mean, he is a matchup nightmare. And I thought Jacksonville did a really good job on him because they got up in his face and stopped his initial charge, and they had a guy over top. And I think that Jim Schwartz is going to try. You know what? Amendola, you can do it. Brandon Cooks, you can beat us. Gronk, you're not going to beat us. But the thing about the Patriots is they'll take it. Like most teams, you take away their number one guy, they're searching. But not the Patriots. The Patriots are like, okay, you take away Gronk, fine. We'll beat you with this guy. We'll throw the ball to Deion Lewis out the backfield. So that's what I say. They make adjustments. They have a contingency plan for the contingency plan. That's why they're so great.
Randy, is there any part of you that's jealous of the people in Minnesota right now covering the Super Bowl, you know, Radio Row, going to the game? Or are you perfectly content to be down here in a relatively balmy Atlanta?
Oh, I mean, balmy. I mean, it's still cold here. I mean, I'm standing out on the back porch right now, freezing right now. But, no, you know, I don't get jealous. I wasn't jealous that y'all were in Houston. I mean, the Super Bowl is a great thing. I've been to plenty of them. But right now, I mean, when you hear the stories that are coming up there, that how cold it is. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I mean, no. I don't have clothes built for stuff like that.
You can't go double sweatpants when you're up there and it's -7. It just doesn't work. Who should be the MVP of the league?
Well, I know everybody saw the leak thing. I guess it was Tom Brady's acceptance speech or whatever. So I think it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, I know people will say I'm a homer. I think Todd Gurley should win the MVP. Just looking at the year he had, as far as all-purpose yards and just the fact that how the Rams resurged because he was a big part of it. But I think Tom Brady is going to get it even before the leak acceptance letter or whatever that was. But I go Todd Gurley.
Randy. Well, yeah, Randy, thanks for leaking that story already because, you know, I'll have to scratch that from the Bible now.
Oh, wah. Randy, I'm with you.
You're a complete douche today.
Are you serious? I'm just busting stones. That's what we do. You guys are so in your feelings behind the glass. Relax. For real. You just called me the D word? I mean, give me a break, dude. Randy, it has gotten officially weird here in the Kia Studios. You know, you give Bible a couple of days off, and he comes in here guns blazing. I don't know what's up, man. I literally don't know what's going on here. I mean, I thought we were having fun and playing around, and people are in their feelings, man.
Randy, who wins?
I'm gonna go Philly. I think Philly will find a way to win the game. I think Philly's going to win the game because it's going to come down to their defense against Tom Brady, probably late in the fourth quarter. And I think they'll be up by 4, so they can't kick a field goal. I think Philly will win the game.
Wow. Now, does this end the dynasty if Philly wins?
No. As long as you got 12, the dynasty will continue to roll. And also Bill Belichick.
Okay. Randy Mack.
But picking Philadelphia to win this game.
Yes.
It's just one game. I mean, Nick Foles had to be great one more game. One more game. He has to be great for 3 more hours. And I think that team could be great for 3 more hours.
All right. Now, what are you going to be doing for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to be chilling out, man. You know me, man. I had a grill fired up because I'm off that day, so it's going to be a whole day of pregaming. I've been looking at my man Mark Owens, his guide to tailgating, so I make sure I don't start too early so I can finish that race. And I'm just going to be chilling. I just talked to my wife, I guess because people don't call me, they call her, my family. So they've invited themselves over. So I got to find a way to get out of that situation. But, no, I'm just going to be chilling, man.
All right, we'll be on our way to Randy McMichael's house. Appreciate it, as always, my dude.
All right, my fellas. Y'all take care, bro.
All right, Randy Mack on the WadeFord.com hotline. NFL bounce coming up next. You'll love this in Minnesota. Eagles fans are allowed to now wear dog masks. What could possibly go wrong with Meathead Saul and Meathead Paulie? That's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Teams are different. The teams are different. The matchups are different. And the road that the team has traveled to get here is different, as is the road that your opponent has traveled. So each one's unique. Each one's special.
Yeah, not as much cheating this time, right? Bill Belichick from the Super Bowl, and it's our NFL Bounce. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios. And we've got all kinds of NFL topics, Super Bowl stuff to talk about. But Tack McKinley had surgery.
Yeah.
Okay? And Tack McKinley had surgery on his left shoulder. You can go to his Twitter account, at Tack, T-A-K-K. He's got a picture out there, a big old black brace-looking thing on his left shoulder. And he tweeted out, like, now that I will have two good shoulders, I'm going to be getting double-digit sacks or something like that. But it's another surgery on a guy entering his second season. It's a little concerning, John, but, hey, he needed to get his shoulder fixed. So when he sacked Nick Foles at the beginning of the divisional round game, apparently he super jacked up his left shoulder doing it.
Yeah, he may have. And this is something I think that had been lingering for a while with Tack McKinley. You had seen a couple of times throughout the year where he would, you know, move the shoulder around. I know in the Philly game, the play that you mentioned, he comes to the sideline and they do the test to make sure that he's got, you know, enough strength to go out and play. He didn't want to come out of the game. I think it was just a pain threshold thing, and now it got to the point where he goes, all right, let's get this done.
Didn't he go back into the game?
Oh, yeah, he played.
He did. He played through
it. He didn't miss anything.
Dude, he must have been in a lot of pain in that football game.
It was cold, and cold and pain don't typically go together, but he does have a bunch of pictures up at Tack. Him in surgery or getting ready for surgery.
What do you think of his new avatar where he looks like Big Worm?
That's awesome.
Do you see that right there?
Yeah, but he's still got his hair, though.
He still has the hair, so he put it up in a thing or whatever?
He just put whatever that apparatus is on his head to look like Big Worm.
It looks like Big Worm, though, right?
Yeah. Except I don't think he's selling anything out of an ice cream truck. Kind of think that's going on.
Or hunting down Smokey for his $200.
If Tack's hunting down somebody for $200, but it ain't Smokey. Justin Hardy apparently having some type of cleanup surgery as well for the Falcons.
Hmm. So we wish him well, man.
A couple of banged up guys. I'd rather get it done now. Don't be like some of these other clowns in the NFL. They go, oh, I'm going to wait until June. And no, get your surgery done now. Get your rehab done. Get your butts ready for mini camp and OTAs and all that good stuff.
All right, what were you talking about before the break with dog masks and the Eagles?
Your fan base, the Eagles.
Stop it.
Minnesota fan base.
How dare you.
No. Okay, so the Super Bowl is allowing Eagle fans to wear dog masks, apparently, now into the state. They've taken on the whole underdog mentality. The team was doing it at Radio Row and everything else. So now I guess fans are going to be allowed to be like the old Cleveland Brown fans and wear masks into the stadium.
Is it an NFL thing or a U.S. Bank Stadium? I believe that's what it's called, U.S. Bank Stadium.
I think it's an NFL thing.
If it's an NFL thing, I get it. If it's a stadium thing, let's put it this way. If Minnesotans made that decision, I would not allow them to wear their dog masks into the stadium, and you all know why. It's well documented. But if it's the NFL making that decision, I understand because they're not involved in the fight, and they wouldn't be super butthurt about the abuse that Vikings fans suffered at the hands of Eagles fans. So what does it say?
It is an NFL thing. The only thing the NFL asks is that you take your mask off before you go through security. So you can't show up like you're Mr. Wrestling number two and you don't want your identity known and you just wear the mask the entire way.
And it's amazing the coincidence right now. Look up here on Monitor One. It's TNT. They've got Supernatural on. And a masked assailant just murdered somebody.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about masks here. That is a gruesome show. It really is. Kind of cool, kind of twisted, but it's gruesome. They show a lot of gore on that show.
What's the other one? Is it Criminal Minds?
I've heard of it. I haven't
Criminal
watched
Minds
it.
Gets pretty graphic and pretty disgusting, and our kids love it for whatever.
Kids love it.
It's on network TV. Crime show.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of everything else. But
did you ever watch CSI?
Sometimes.
Like towards the end, before it went off the air with Ted Danson on it. It was gross.
Danson was on CSI? I hadn't watched that far in.
You weren't available.
No.
Lawrence Fishburne took over for a little while. He left, and then Ted Danson took over.
Really?
Yeah.
But there was like 19 CSI spinoffs.
Yeah, they're just stealing money.
Yeah. CSI Buckhead.
Yeah, they didn't have a movie role for a minute, so yeah, steal some money from TV.
NBC has everything: Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, right. Chicago Elevator Repair, Chicago.
Can we get Atlanta Bathroom Repair and actually have them come in here and get us a place where we can use the restroom?
It got canceled.
You know what's disappointing? I'm not hearing like knock knock, bang bang, zzz. I'm not hearing like construction sounds out of the bathroom. That's not a good sign.
They had the door open the other day, and I'm like getting all excited. I'm like, all right, the door's open to the men's room. Maybe they're putting the finishing touches. Nope. Drywall everywhere. Lights hanging down from the ceiling. They are still months away.
You know what they did do? Like 2 days ago, they hung a TV in the hallway because that's part of the renovation of our floor. Don't have anywhere to pee. I'm about to drill a hole in one of these windows and just let it flow.
Terrorist, carbs, and Colony Square parking deck. The three things that will be the death of me one day. I swear.
He threw carbs in there.
Yeah, well, carbs is the least of my concern. Hey, I love this tweet yesterday. Did you see what Le'Veon Bell sent out?
Mm-mm.
So I don't remember who it was, a Jets fan or a Jets announcer said, we need you in New York to play for the Jets. 60 mil is a nice round number for Le'Veon Bell. Bell responds, yeah, 60 million is not enough to run for the Jets.
Over what, 5 years?
I don't care what it is. He's just saying 60 mil ain't enough. I'm not going to the Jets.
Well, guess what? Le'Veon Bell is into Le'Veon Bell, and he should be. He's a stud. He is looking at the contract that Alex Smith just got, mm-hmm. and he's got his hands, he's rubbing his hands together like a criminal in a cartoon, right? Like, I'm going to get him now. He's got that look on his face, like the Cheshire Cat, because he is looking for, what do you think, John? Maybe a little bit north of the 12.5 or whatever he got on the franchise tag tender. He will be looking for AP money, 15, 16 million per.
See, but I thought this was more of a shot at the Jets. The guy that tweeted out, Eric's Sternkampf, I don't know who he is. I speak on behalf of the New York Jets. We will give you $60 million in cash if you come play for us. Le'Veon Bell had the roll your eyes emoji and said that ain't enough to come run with the Jets.
Nice.
So it was kind of a shot. Steelers players are all out there just doing their thing. Juju Smith shooting the bird at Patriots fans. Le'Veon Bell rolling his eyes at Jets fans. I mean, these guys are on one today.
They sure are. Maybe they should be a little bit more on it when they're on the field, John. Could have maybe beaten Jacksonville with just a little bit more focus and concentration.
You know what? I'm not even mad at those guys. They put up points. Their defense didn't do so well against Blake Bortles. Speaking of the Steelers, some good news coming out of Ryan Shazier. Finally, yesterday he sends out the tweet, I am finally released from the hospital. And he was standing.
I'm confused. Because he's been, like, in and out of the hospital,
I think,
right?
He was going into rehab off and on, so I think it was finally done with the rehab process that he was going through.
So I'm assuming that now he can begin strengthening and improving himself as opposed to just sort of getting himself back together.
Yep.
I don't want to say this, but I would bet against him playing again.
Me too.
And maybe that's kind of an obvious statement. There may be some doctors out there listening who know going, duh, you numbskull. But it's unfortunate. We all want Ryan Shazier to come back, and I'm not a Steelers fan, but I don't believe he's going to play football again.
I don't either. He's going from the UMPC, this University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. They said he's going to transition into outpatient therapy, as you mentioned, strengthening, stretching, doing everything that you try to do. If nothing else, just to get back to normal life for Ryan Shazier.
We got to turn it off at Supernatural because there's another masked warrior doing his or her thing right now. It's kind of bumming.
He's got a clown mask on, too.
Kind of bumming me out,
I don't really
actually.
Do clowns.
Check this out. The NFLPA chief says, we will approach the 2021 talks like war. I told y'all when we started, several years ago, we started talking about this. Oh, when the NFL's collective bargaining agreement comes up, you know, what's going to happen? There is going to be a work stoppage.
Yep.
I don't know if we're going to miss games, but there is going to be some sort of disturbance, some sort of disruption with the schedule. Maybe it's preseason, but the players have to dig in. They are getting, look, I think they're getting run over by the owners. I really do. NBA players call the shots. Major League Baseball players, unless you're a young dude, calls the shots. I don't know about the NHL. But if you're not a super, superstar Pro Bowler, John, you don't call the shots. And even in some of those situations, you don't call the shots because the team can slap the franchise tag on you. I'm all for the players in this one. I really am. I am championing the players on this one. They need to dig in, get solidified, and not cave. And I believe that if, John, they are together and they have solidarity and don't cave, the owners will cave and meet their demands. Not all of them, but the owners aren't even willing in history to meet them halfway. Like, if I'm the players, I'm like, yo, you got to at least meet me halfway.
I will say this. I agree with all you're saying with the players. They'll cave. They always do. Because they're fine in the offseason, because they're not getting paid anyway. They only get paid during the regular season. They'll be fine in the offseason. Hey, we're going to fight the strong fight. We'll miss minicamp. We'll miss OTA. Heck, we'll miss training camp. We might even get ready to miss preseason games. Those regular season checks don't come. Mortgages don't pay themselves. Agents don't pay themselves. It might be a group that stands strong. There's going to be people on the fringe who go, dude, I make 500 grand. Which to you or I or to Preacher, man, that sounds like great money. To an NFL guy, that's peanuts. And yep. He's going to go, I got to go back to work. And eventually they crumble. I hope they stay strong enough to get some of the things they want accomplished. I think they should be getting more guaranteed money, stuff like that. But that's all that'll happen.
To your point, if I'm the owners, I'm like, yeah, right. You're treating it like war and you're going to be, yeah, right. Yeah, you know, we've seen this before. We've heard this before. But I want the players to win this fight. Can you believe Randy McMichael picked the Eagles? I'm just a little
surprised.
I thought he might have gone like close game, but for him just to go ahead and pick the Eagles, I'm not mad at him, but I'm surprised.
You know what I did? I hedged my bet. I took the Patriots, and I'm hoping that they don't really win. Preacher Man coming up next from the Bible.
Got a Charles Oakley follow-up story, and sometimes you actually need a burner Twitter account.
Maybe I need one of those. That's next.
92.9 The Game.
Back at the Kia Studios, it's our midday party, y'all. It's a Friday in the Yay. We are counting down to a few things here. Top of the hour, we're going to have Brandon Lang. He is an odds maker and handicapper extraordinaire. Talking Super Bowl 52 odds, props, the whole shebang. Mike Conti is going to be back with us here at 1:20. There may or may not be some big news there. And, you know, we got a great weekend coming up here, man. So let's swing it over to Paul Bible for From the Bible.
All right. From the Bible is brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get it done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS. Dunn Waterproofing. From the Bible, we always like to do follow-up stories. I remember back in the day, Charles Oakley at MSG got into it and was arrested.
Yeah.
And, you know, expelled from MSG for life and all that good stuff. Well, he has accepted an ACD, which is an adjournment in contemplation of dismissal, and which would expunge his arrest from his record if he agreed to keep his nose clean for 6 months. Well, he has, and that deal is done. However, he's still not allowed back in MSG.
Now, when he was kicked out, wasn't that a Phil Jackson thing? Wasn't he mad about something Phil Jackson did? I don't remember what. I know he had gotten into it with security, but what led to him getting into it with security?
Wasn't he barking his dissatisfaction with the product on the floor?
I think so.
And owner Jim Dolan heard him. And I think that might have had something to do with it. I forget. Is that how it went? So, look, this to me, Charles Oakley, and I'm not saying that he should do this, but if Charles Oakley does not apologize to Jim Dolan, I don't believe that Jim Dolan will welcome him back. And now we're into pettiness and a peeing contest and all that kind of stuff. And these are big, wealthy men who are dug in. And I don't think Charles Oakley is going to apologize. But I do think that that's what's going to need to happen if he wants to get back in.
If I'm a former Great Nick, which Charles Oakley is, the product on the floor still sucks. I'm not going to apologize for that. I voiced my opinion. He wasn't hurting anybody. I'm assuming he paid for the seats. Even if he didn't, he's still there. He's allowed to voice his opinion, okay? And Jim Dolan can easily say, you're not coming back. If I'm Charles Oakley, I'm not apologizing. Put a better product on the floor because the product stunk for two decades.
I'm with you. I'm with you when you're right, John.
I'm not usually right either. Sometimes.
You were right on your NFL picks this year.
That I was. In college. Preacher Man.
All right, well, as we all know, Floyd Mayweather, has been sending out Instagram pictures of himself in an octagon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Conor McGregor, of course, you know, he's not one to pass up taking the bait, which he always does. So he has sent out message in response to said pictures. He goes, he needs to stop flirting with MMA fight and actually book it, or he'll regret it until the day he dies. If he does do it, I know he's... he said, if he does do it, I know he's flirting with it. I would have respect for him, says McGregor. If Floyd is just messing around and won't take a real MMA fight, it will follow him the rest of his days that he did not do it.
I totally disagree with that.
I don't think Floyd doesn't need to get
in
the octagon.
No, not at all. McGregor's trying to drum up another paycheck via Floyd Mayweather. Floyd would be an... One thing we know about Floyd is he's not dumb, mm-hmm. okay? But he would be dumb to fight Conor McGregor or any other mixed martial arts guy in the octagon. He'd get his butt kicked. He'd be a bloody mess at the end of that thing. He can't get in a ring and start kicking people and win if they take it down to the mat and it's wrestling and all this kind of stuff. He can't win that fight.
Yeah, he can't win the wrestling aspect. I agree. I don't think he'd be a bloody mess because you still got to be able to hit him. And as we saw in the first fight, Conor McGregor couldn't hit him unless Floyd stood there and let him hit him. Conor will win in the octagon. No doubt in my mind he is trained to do that. I also don't think there's enough money to get Floyd into the octagon. Like, you're going to have to pay – it's Floyd Mayweather, and I know it's UFC – you're going to have to pay him $50 million or $100 million to get in the octagon. And
going.
It ain't happening. They're paying Conor McGregor, what, $5 million a fight, if that? There's a reason he went and boxed.
I'm with you, man. Back to you, Preacher Man.
All right, so sometimes you may actually need a burner Twitter account like Kevin Durant. NBA tweeted out last night, James Harden putting on his show. Hashtag Rockets, tune in, NBA on TV, NBA on TNT, excuse me. Steve Kerr, the official account, blue check mark.
Oh, no.
It's an embarrassment. I think the league is so happy with all the scoring that it doesn't want to enforce stuff like that.
Oh, no. See.
Enforce stuff like what? What am I missing here?
Not calling fouls, potentially letting James Harden walk to the line 100 times.
Oh, so his Euro step where he kind of, I mean, really? We're complaining about traveling in the NBA. You want to talk about a tired complaint and a tired narrative? Look, I'm okay with traveling, John. And I'm not okay with a guy picking up the ball at the timeline and running to the hoop. I'm not okay with that. I'm okay with a guy scooping up his dribble at about the foul line, bat, bat, bucket. And the old school guys, it's what is it, a step and a half? That's like the technical travel or not. They give you 2.5 steps, and I'm fine with it.
I don't mind. What I don't like is when you see the egregious guys changing pivot feet at the top of the key. You're going, you're doing the river dance. Like, there has to be some integrity with the rules.
I agree with you there. Pivot foot, you got to call that. Or how about the guys, like, at the right wing or the left wing, and the guy's closing out for him on a three, and he gives a little pump fake for an escape dribble.
And
the stutter step, and they call it travel on that. I'm okay with calling that. No, they call it sometimes. They're actually better at calling that perimeter travel right now.
Yeah, they're not going to call it on James Harden, I can tell you that.
Not James Harden.
But to Preacher Man's point, if you're Steve Kerr, you probably don't want to send that from your verified account.
Nope. Why was he in his feelings so much about that?
I don't know.
Maybe it's because they got beat by 700 points the other night by Utah.
And they were mad about that, Preacher Man.
Yeah, it was probably that escape room they had to go to. That's what got all messed up. Thursday, Travis Kelce stopped by the EA Sports Super Bowl party in Minneapolis to follow through after he challenged New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara to a game of Madden. What happened first when he got there? Apparently, Kelce switched quarterbacks. He benched Alex Smith and went with Patrick Mahomes.
Nice. Well, you got to get used to your new QB. That's
who won?
I don't know. Who did win the game?
Kamara won.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. So, bad coaching move by Travis Kelce.
Not good. I am not good at Madden.
How about Kelce, man? Yeah. Going with Mahomes?
Yeah,
my new QB. He's got to butter up his new QB, John.
Yeah, he got to. Maybe you want, if you're trying to win the game, you probably want to win with the guy with a higher rating on the game, and I'm going to assume Alex Smith had the higher rating the game.
Did you know he had the highest passer rating in the NFL this
year?
Yeah, I did. Alex Smith led the NFL in passer rating. How mind-boggling is that?
Yeah, he had a great, great year. I will say this. EA Sports, bring back college football. I like Madden. I've got a new PS4. Great Christmas gift, by the way, from my beautiful bride, even though she told me she wasn't getting it. I just can't get into Madden. Like, Madden's fun for a couple of games. And
why
then
not?
You go,
why can't you? You're a huge NFL fan. Why can't you get into Madden?
It's not college football. College football's always been my jam on the video game system.
You got to get over that.
No, I don't. I still play the last college football game on the PS3 because somebody was nice enough to give me rosters to put the new players on there. I like college better.
I get it, but you got, I mean.
Yeah, Madden's all right. I'd rather play NBA 2K.
All right.
Much rather play NBA 2K.
How about soccer? You got soccer on your PS?
Hell no. I do not have FIFA.
Why are you reacting like that?
Because I play shooting games, and I play football and basketball, and that's it. I've heard FIFA's a lot of fun. It's too much coordination for me.
Really?
Yeah, too much of the.
You'll probably pull something.
I might. I'd have a thumb tendon.
We don't need another injury to John
Michaels.
I'd be
in here in a cast. I've heard FIFA actually is really good. I just can't play soccer on a video game.
I hear you, bro.
Preach, man.
All right, well, there was a buyer on eBay. This is from Darren Revelle's Twitter account, who paid $250,000 for a Tom Brady rookie card.
How much?
Broke the record for the highest price paid for a Brady collectible.
$250,000 for a rookie card. Let's go around the room. Most you've ever played for, paid for a card.
I don't know, $50. I don't know. I mean, I used to be a big time baseball card collector. I don't, maybe not even that much because I was a little kid back then. Mm-hmm. Maybe $20-$30. This is, I'm looking up the price of a Honus Wagner card. You know, like that famous baseball card that's the Holy Grail. Because I don't think Honus Wagner cards are going for $250,000.
I'm not paying $250,000 for a card because, you know what? It might be worth that in the Beckett baseball card monthly.
This
$2.5 million.
$2.1 million in an online sale by Golden Auctions for that famous Honus Wagner card. I'm wrong. Okay. The Brady card officially is a bargain compared to the Honus Wagner card.
I think I've paid maybe $50 for something. Maybe. That's it. A lot of people are texting in right now saying I'm sleeping on FIFA. So maybe I need to get FIFA. Now, is Atlanta United on FIFA? Please answer that on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-092. Because if Atlanta United's on there and I can get Barco and I can get Josef Martinez, then I will go get FIFA.
You're back in the good graces, John.
Because of Justin Timberlake or the FIFA people?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I'm looking up. I do have a couple of prized cards. One of them is a 1964 Topps Pete Rose. Whoa.
$500.
Whoa.
How much is that worth?
I'm seeing one here for $1,500. I'm seeing another one here for $2,500.
So the net worth of Rick Campbell just went up to $2.21 million.
But I also see $3 and $295. So I'm not sure why how the price varies that much.
Preacher Man, what's the research material?
Research Jessica today comes Beal? From, no, but it should be. You want to go with that?
No,
you can just add that to the list. Kenny and Stone Mountain sent in the research material today. Anita Marshall.
Anita? That's very easy. Anita Marshall. All right. We'll look up Anita Marshall. We'll come back. Brandon Lang. He is entertaining. He's a little bit off the chain a little bit. He'll talk some gambling next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
The Bunker Mentality with Andy Bunker.
Apparently, Brian Windhorst was talking about the situation with Kevin Durant getting kicked out of a game, brought up Draymond Green.
The Game.
All right. Having a blast here at the Kia Studios, man. Throwing our midday party. Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Be safe. Put the credit card information or debit card information in the Uber app. Get the Uber app. Go to account or whatever and put that information in so that when you are blitzed, crazy blitzed this weekend at a Super Bowl party of some sort or a pre-Super Bowl party of some sort, you can just click the button and be safe and get home. Brandon Lang, primetime handicapper, is going to be on here in just a moment. But Rick and John hanging. Do we have Brandon right now? We do. He's on the Wade Ford.com hotline. Brandon, good afternoon or good morning, wherever you're at. Are you in Minneapolis? You out there in Vegas?
I actually just came back from Minneapolis to Jacksonville. I'm doing all my radio shows from home today. Then I'll be on a flight tomorrow out to Vegas for a monster Super Bowl bash. And watch me pull in Super Bowl winner number 4 in a row and 23 of 26. So, bam.
There you go, 23. Wait, 23 of 26, that's a nice number. We wish you didn't have 4 in a row because that means you correctly picked the Patriots last year over the Falcons, and obviously that was heartbreak right here in Atlanta.
Well, I'll tell you this much. People ask me all the time, what's my secret? And I say, well, I said that, A, get rid of the hype and just handicap it as if it's another 1 o'clock game on a Sunday. That's first and foremost. And two, you got to be a little lucky. And to have had New England over Seattle, knowing that they should have lost that one. And then, listen, I'll go to my grave, and I'm sure you guys have heard this a million times, that if Kyle Shanahan doesn't hit the panic button after losing 2 yards on first down and just says, let me pound the rock 2 more times right up the middle, make them use their timeouts. I get wanting to throw on second down. Okay, but if we're going to do that, can we go 3-step drop instead of 7? So again, they were so lucky to win last year. I know it got me to 22-3, but, again, you go on that kind of run and you gotta get lucky. And I was, so.
No doubt about it. Brandon Lang, he knows what's up, man. And I loved what you just said about take the hype out of your handicapping. And of course, this is the most hyped game of all. And Brandon, I really feel, we're going to get your prediction, obviously. I really feel like people are trying to drum up reasons why the Eagles can win. I hear it's going to be close. I hear predictions the Eagles are going to win the game. And I feel like people are trying to convince themselves that it's going to happen. And I feel some of those people, Brandon, are sort of a prisoner of that hype because, of course, Nick Foles comes off this amazing game and all that. Do you feel like the Eagles backers are kind of being driven by that hype a little bit?
No, not at all. When you understand the Patriots and you understand the Super Bowl run, how much time do we have, by the way?
You got like 12 minutes, so you're good.
Okay. They don't, other than the 18-0 year, they don't win the Super Bowl because they're the better team. They win the Super Bowl because they're the better coach team. And that's why we haven't got a Patriot 50-something-to-20 game like the Niners over the Chargers or a 50-something-to-20 game like Aikman and the Cowboys over Buffalo. They win their Super Bowls by 3-3, 3-4, and 6 because they're just better coached. They're not the better team. You look at their wins. Rams had them on the ropes early, 3 field goals, 9-0 instead of 21-0. I talked to Kurt Warner at Radio Row. He says, we should have been up 21-0. He says, I checked us out of a couple things, and when you can't settle for field goals against them. Jake Delhomme, Steve Smith, Muhammad put up 31 on them. Their defense couldn't get a stop. McNabb and Andy Reid vomited on themselves in the first half, and the Eagles should have been up 2 scores, and then they lost that one. And then they never should have beat Seattle, and they never should have beat Atlanta. So, guys, they're a couple plays away from being 1-7. And now here's another thing to think about. In the history of Belichick and Brady, they've only gone on the road a total of 6 times. That is unbelievable if you think about that. So that's how critical home field advantage has been for them to get them to this game. So they play close games. They get here because of home field advantage. They get here because they're not necessarily the better team, but better coach team. And now they're facing a team that proposes the same kind of matchup as the Giants did. So I don't think people are trying to convince themselves that Philly matches up well against them. The reality is they do. And the reason why Atlanta couldn't score on Philadelphia in the fourth quarter, when you rotate 8 defensive linemen the whole game, they're fresh. They're fresh in the fourth. It's hard, man. It's hard when you got fresh guys in the fourth quarter. Now, look at the Jacksonville-New England game. Now, I was at the Jacksonville-Buffalo game, and I saw Jacksonville's offense, which I've living in Jacksonville, is one of the most average vanilla offenses I've ever seen, and they couldn't score against Buffalo. They were horrible because they're not that great an offense. They shredded New England in the first half. And only because Nathaniel Hackett went from wanting to win the game to not losing the game in the second half, they put Blake Bortles in a position and handcuffed him, and then they lost momentum. The New England defense, the last 11 weeks, has averaged 14 points a game. How many top 10 offenses did they see in the last 11 weeks?
2, maybe. I don't know.
0. Not 1. Miami twice, Buffalo twice, Jets. They faced 3 run-pass option teams all year long. Mm-hmm. Chiefs put up 42 at Gillette. Carolina put up 33 at Gillette. Houston put up 33 at Gillette. So before we put the cart before the horse, I take you back to the Monday night game 6 weeks ago against Miami. Jay Cutler and the Dolphins beat them 27-0. They put up 27 on that defense. Now, when you're going out and signing James Harrison late in the year because you need help, are you starting to get the picture here? This is a great matchup. Now, with all that being said, you said it. You said it in the X Factor. The X Factor is Nick Foles. The Eagles have the better offensive line. Check. The Eagles have the better defensive line. Check. You can't argue that. There's no way you can argue that.
We've got Brandon Lang. We got Brandon Lang with us here. BrandonLang.com. Go ahead, Brandon.
So, the question is, you guys saw the Atlanta game. The game plan by Doug Peterson and Frank Reich, it's no accident. Your head coach was a former quarterback. Your offense coordinator is a former quarterback. They are so dialed in with what they got Foles doing. So the game plan against Atlanta, perfect. Game plans against Minnesota, perfect. the game plan against New England and where to attack them is going to be perfect. And I firmly believe this as I handicap the Super Bowl. And this is a big if. All Nick Foles has to do is bring his B game. Patriots can't win this game. The interior of the lines is too much of an advantage for Philadelphia. It just is. But Nick Foles is the X factor. If he turns it over and has a bad game, Patriots are going to blow this team out. Blow them out. It's going to be the 42-17 game we've been waiting for. But if Nick Foles plays a clean game, Atlanta, 23-30, 245, no turnovers. Minnesota, 26-33, 352, three touchdowns, no turnovers. You see that kind of game? Mark my words, guys, Philadelphia is not just going to win the game. They're going to beat them by double digits.
Brandon, I want to go back to something you said a little while ago and ask how Philadelphia avoids this. Daryl Bevell down at the one-yard line eschews Marshawn Lynch. Kyle Shanahan, Coolio makes the unbelievable catch. It's first down loss of run to Devontae Freeman, and then everything that transpired to allow New England to win the game from there. Nathaniel Hackett called a masterful game in the first half and then pooped it down his legs in the second half. How does Philly avoid playing not to lose against the better coach team?
Doug Marrone, into the first half, 58 seconds to go, 0-25-yard line, two timeouts, let's take a knee. Let's not run a draw, let's not run a screen, let's not try to pop something, let's just take a knee. Doug Peterson up 21-7, 29 seconds to go, his own 19-yard line, two timeouts. 90% of every coach in the NFL takes a knee there. Peterson says, forget that, let's go get some more against this number one defense. They go down and get a field goal. There's your answer. He proved to you right then all you need to know. Doug Peterson's aggressive. He goes for it on fourth down. Remember in the Jacksonville game, there's 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, and they had a fourth and one at the 46-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
And they punted it away.
Yep.
Doug Peterson goes for it there. I guarantee you he goes for it there. Guarantee it. He's not scared. He's not scared, nor is Philly scared. I stayed at the Philly Hotel. And had access to the players and had access to the coaches and saw them in the lobby and would strike up a conversation, and they don't know I'm Brandon Lang. They just think I'm a Philly fan going up to Radio Row. They're a confident bunch. Now, I went with the Patriots over Seattle. I went with the Patriots over Atlanta. I went with the Giants over the Patriots. I went with the Giants again over the Patriots. So it's not like I don't go with the Patriots. I'm not afraid to go against the Patriots, and I'm not afraid to take the Patriots. But I truly think that if you handicap this game objectively, and you look at it objectively, there is truly only one way to play this game. If you take away the hype and the mystique of Belichick and Brady, because as we've seen in their five Super Bowl wins, experience means nothing. They can't blow people out. They haven't blown people out.
Brandon, the only thing I would take exception with right there, and you mentioned the failures of Kyle Shanahan at the end of the Super Bowl last year, I think the experience of Brady and Belichick and that staff and that whole group was a huge factor in them beating the Falcons last year. So A, chew on that, and B, you know, Belichick and Brady, all the experience, Foles and Peterson, not so much. I do think that's going to be a big factor in the game.
See, I just have to go back to what I saw against the number one defense in the NFL. And granted, Minnesota was playing on the road and they weren't as good, but I think people are discounting how good Minnesota's defense was all year long. And they dismantled them. They dismantled them to like no other team did the entire year. Dismantled them. And I just can't get past the fact. Listen, New England made me a ton of money this year. Ton of money. And whether I'm going to lay the number, take the number as a handicap this game, I kept coming back to the same thing. The Achilles heel of the New England Patriots has always been defensively their linebackers in coverage. Their linebackers struggle to cover. They're great in the run, but they struggle in covering tight ends. What's the strength of the Eagles passing game?
Tight end.
Tight ends. Ertz, Celek, Trey Burton. And so you're going to get favorable matchups. You have to give Doug, at some point, you have to give Doug Peterson credit for what he did against Atlanta and what he did against Minnesota. And listen, Nick Foles didn't have any training camp. Nick Foles didn't have OTAs. Nick Foles, he had no season. So to get thrown into the fire, the best, and listen, the Monday night game against Oakland, guys, it was 10 degrees and 25-mile-an-hour winds. You ever try to throw a football in 25-mile-an-hour winds?
No.
The Dallas game was 0 degrees and 15-mile-an-hour winds when Peterson said, we're not accomplishing anything here. Let's just take him out. And then they had 2 full weeks to get him ready for Atlanta. And then a week to get ready, and he just has progressively got better. Do you remember the throw to Jeffries at the end of the first half?
Against Minnesota, absolutely.
With the pocket collapsing, and Griffin grabs his jersey, and the other guy grabs his other jersey? If that's Tom Brady, what does he do right there? Goes down. Peyton Manning goes down. Not Foles. Never hit the panic button. Never. He is a confident cat right now. But he's a confident cat because his head coach and his offensive coordinator have a feel about what he does best. Listen, you go against Brady and Belichick, man, you got to have some cojones because it's just so hard to go against them in Super Bowls. But in the point that I'm bringing up here, Philly fans should feel good based on how this team matches up with them because doesn't it remind you, let's be honest here, doesn't it remind you a lot of the Giants and Patriots?
It does.
Yes and no. I mean, you had Eli Manning, and now we have Nick Foles. That's what I keep coming back to, Brandon. And I just can't – and I know Nick Foles is a rock star against Minnesota. My theory on that, Brandon, I'm a Minnesotan, born and raised. I have watched the chokiest football team ever for decades, and that's what I saw. This is a team that historically rolls over and plays dead in big games. You've seen it. You followed this game all these years. So I can't give Philadelphia as much credit as you did because I saw a team quit.
Right, but I will say, what is a quarterback's best friend?
Defense, running game.
Absolutely. I don't think people are giving credit to how good this offensive line is for Philadelphia. Guys, Troy Aikman calls them the best offensive line in the NFL. I've been saying they're the best offensive line in the NFL, and that's even missing the big guy who went out with an injury, Thomas. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're legit. They're going to be able to run the football. But I said this game comes down to one thing and one thing only. The Philadelphia Lions are going to do what they've done all year long. Philly's been great all year long. This should make you think for a minute. You know what the line would be if Wentz was playing? Westgate in Vegas came out with this. The line would be a pick 'em if Wentz was playing. What does that tell you?
Two even teams.
It tells you two even teams. So the X factor is Foles. I did 42 radio interviews on Radio Row. And I said the X factor is Foles. If you think Foles can go out there and just play a good game, then that'd be great. His defense is going to do its job. If he plays a good game, you're going to cover. If he doesn't, you're not going to cover. You're not. So, you know, it. And listen, every Super Bowl they've played, they don't cover.
That they haven't. Brandon, great stuff.
Brandon,
thanks for
thank
coming
you,
on, as always.
By the way, BrandonLang.com, the pick is up there for free. It's a one-day free all-access pass. If your listeners have never been to the website, you don't buy a thing. Right at the top of my webpage, it's a one-day free all-access pass. You get the Super Bowl winner absolutely free. I think if you really listen to what I said, you can probably get an idea which way I'm leaning.
You think?
But again, I do that because I want people to introduce them to the website, and I'm not going to charge them for the Super Bowl. It's absolutely free with that one-day free all-access pass. My way of saying thanks for having me today.
Anytime,
Brandon Lang,
appreciate it. Our guest on the WadeForward.com hotline. A lot of information there. Really, really good information. We take a break. We come back. We got a little special announcement we're going to do in studio. We're not allowed to call it breaking news, or this person will storm out of the studio and maybe hit one of us. But a big announcement, and we're going to recap all the Twitter polls that have had this show fired up all week on Sports Radio 92.9 again.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen. The Midday Show with Rick and John, throwing our midday party. And we have, hey, there's Jason Longshore. He's the radio analyst for Atlanta United. And, hey, Mike Conti is here as well in the Keys. So we're the home of Atlanta United, obviously. You're going to hear all the games here all year long. And, Mike Conti, I give you the mic right now. Do you have an announcement to make on what is happening here? And
yeah.
We're all excited for you.
No, I do. I'm excited, too. It's been a long time coming, but the McRib is back.
Yes!
Now, for a limited time only?
Limited time only, okay. Yes. Actually, I don't know.
I've actually never had a McRib. Never.
It's a thing.
Now, is that going to go along the lines of me liking Pepsi more than Coke? Are there going to be listeners that are really mad at me for not eating a McRib?
Here's the thing. Like, we're at the end of the work week here. We should just kind of slide into the weekend on a non-hostile note. We don't need to renew, you know, Pepsi, Coke, or Waffle House hostilities here or anything like that. But, no, really excited to be able to work with Jason Longshore on the Atlanta United radio broadcast
this year. What, huh? You're doing what?
Jason and I will be the radio team for Atlanta United this year, starting a week from tomorrow in Nashville for the first exhibition or friendly against Nashville SC, which is a USL side this year, but eventually they're going to be going to MLS. So we're going to be up there with Atlanta United and all the 17s and supporters groups next Friday for Dukes and Bell, and then Saturday we'll have the match. And then it all kind of careens, Jason, to March 3rd in Houston against Houston Dynamo, and we got the second season of Atlanta United underway.
I can't wait to get this thing started. A lot of people around the country are saying Atlanta United's the favorite in the East, even above Toronto, who had a record-setting year and bring pretty much everybody back. What Atlanta's done this offseason is just special in terms of this team, and it's going to be a special year for Atlanta fans to watch.
Mike, I gotta. I'll say this. First of all, congratulations. I know you guys are going to do a tremendous job. I from the day I started working here, I told Mike how much I enjoy his work and everything he's done on the Falcons broadcast.
And then I had to tell him I was not Mike Bell.
No, I've worked with Mike Bell before. I know that. You haven't bought me a steak yet either. So, but you do a tremendous job with everything you do here. How do you juggle the time? Like, is your wife looking at you now, going, really? Now you're going to throw Atlanta United on top of the Hawks and everything. How are you going to be able to juggle all the responsibilities you have here at 92.9?
Well, as a matter of fact, she is. Mm-hmm. But she's been very supportive of all of this. The good thing about Atlanta United is they only play once a week. It's not like a you know, Hawks week where they play four or five games a week. The Hawks season is winding down. Atlanta United's regular season begins on March 3rd. So it fits nicely in my calendar. There's going to be a little bit of Hawks United overlap, a little bit of Falcons United overlap, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I love soccer. I've tried to express that as best I can on this radio station the 5 years that I've worked here. I've done soccer play-by-play before. I'm not new at this. I haven't done MLS before, but I've done NCAA soccer. I've done a lot of high school soccer over the years. So I don't know the game nearly as much as Jason. I've told Jason I will be leaning on him heavily, and Jimmy Vance, our producer, heavily. And I really hope that, you know, the 17s and all our soccer fans out there will be very patient with me. I probably will Americanize the broadcast quite a bit. And I know that's not something that a lot of soccer fans are huge fans of. Just bear with me. I will take this very seriously. I will get better. But I'm very grateful to Matt Moore, Darren Eels at Atlanta United, Terry Fox here at 92.9 The Game for this opportunity. And super pumped to be working with Jason, because I think the job that Jason did on the radio last year, Atlanta United was a real thing last year. I think next to the Falcons making the Super Bowl, this was the biggest sports story in Atlanta last year. The way the city embraced this expansion soccer club, how well they did on the field, the attendance records that they were smashing week after week and on the season. I think Jason had a big role in that with what he did off the air and on the air to build awareness and educate the city about what we have here in Atlanta United. So for me to be able to work with Jason, I'm super pumped about that too.
Man,
that was a big compliment right there.
They got to follow that up.
No, I mean,
he's a comprehensive guy, Jason. Get used to that.
But how many people really? I mean, think about it. Jason is the most credible soccer guy in the city.
I would agree with that.
How many people in this radio station can we say is the most credible at something in the city? Very few. So to be able to work with Jason on that. Yes, Rick, yes. You're extremely credible on the slam dunk contest. Yes,
thank you.
Yes, I agree.
Even though I can't jump.
John, you were extraordinarily credible about Hassan Whiteside and Udonis Haslem, the ins and outs of the Miami Heat. You are the authority on that.
I am the authority on Miami sports in Atlanta. I don't know what that does as far as work-wise, but I am absolutely the authority. Yeah. No, Jason, we expressed this to you last year. Coming on our show weekly and, quite frankly, educating Rick and I. I watch soccer in a very casual fandom. I'd watch the World Cup. I'd watch the Women's World Cup. MLS was new to me, and you did an unbelievable job of educating us and our fans.
And I just appreciate you guys having me on. I mean, you guys were the first two people I met at the station. First day things are fine. It was a little scary. But no, seriously, like, you guys went out on a limb and brought soccer talk on a regular basis, you know, to the station.
You were the first gig I had on a regular basis here. And thank you for that, because for me, somebody who's grown up being a soccer fan, playing as a kid, wanting this for my city, you know, to be able to be that person and be able to spread the word and educate. I love that. You know, I want more people to join this party. I don't want it to be a soccer snob situation where, you know, he said sideline instead of touchline, and oh no. Or
I'm going to do that, by the way.
And I don't care. Like, that's the thing.
Just
I tell
don't call
you guys
it a touchback. I think
no, I won't do that.
Yeah, watch that one. Yeah. But
here's what people need to know, though. Jason, my Conti is I think like all of us. I'm always taking my game back to the lab. I'm not a complete product right now. We're always trying to get better. I know he will take that advice, take that feedback, and get better from it. And Mike, as a play-by-play guy as well, and I know your aspirations for play-by-play, I know your background in it, and I just know your thirst for it. And for people that don't understand, play-by-play is an adrenaline rush like nothing else in this business. When I host Game Time, when I do this show, it's a blast. It's an adrenaline rush. But it's not the same as the adrenaline rush that you get live at a game calling the play-by-play for a city. So for that, I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. And the exciting thing about this season coming up is this is a World Cup year. And yes, I know the United States is not in the World Cup, but I still think there's going to be tremendous interest over the World Cup. We saw in 2014 what kind of interest we had here in the city of Atlanta, not only following the USA's World Cup run, but even after they got knocked out all the way out to the final in Brazil. And the MLS All-Star match is here in Atlanta in August. So how fun of a summer are we going to have being a soccer radio station here? And you know, I know a lot of people are probably going to hear that and misinterpret. We're not talking soccer 24/7 on this radio station, but soccer is going to be a thing this summer between Atlanta United, the MLS All-Star match, and the World Cup. And here again is where I'm so glad we have resources like Jason, and also, you know, John Fricke follows soccer very closely.
Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, Mike Bell actually watches soccer matches sober sometimes, which is kind of unusual for him. Like, he's actually studying the match. Andy Bunker's a big soccer fan. So we have a lot of people here on this radio station, not just Jason and I, who are very, very excited about what's to come over the next few months. Because, as Jason said, Atlanta United is going to be very good. They're going to be very, very good. They're going to be one of the favorites in the Eastern Conference. But then you have the World Cup on top of it. It's really going to be a memorable year coming up, and I'm just excited to be a small part of it.
Matt Moore, I know you're listening out there. It's our guy, Mookie Dunkelman from old Falcons fame. Yeah. We do want to do a midday day out, and we would love to center it around going to an Atlanta United match. We want to go out with the supporter groups. Mike, I will drink for you because I know you guys will be doing. Yeah. You guys will have actual work to do. That'll be time that we can get liquored up and have some fun.
Well, your cocktail intake will be heroic on that day. I'm sure of that. Is Mookie in town or is he in Orlando? Because I know
think he's in Orlando.
They're having training down in Orlando right now. So I know a lot of the team staff is down there, but he might be streaming us. So, yeah, I'm very grateful to Matt Moore and Darren Eels. I can't stress that enough, and Terry Fox for kind of taking a little bit of a leap of faith on this, and just really excited to get going.
They are they're going to be paid off for their trust in you, Mike. No doubt about that. So we have, you know, Jimmy Vance, producer, he's right here in the Kia Studios, and Jason Longshore, me, several others with the station are in a soccer fantasy league.
Uh-oh.
Mike Conti.
Uh-oh.
And you are in John's college football fantasy league. You had a very competitive team last year. Look, I know Atlanta United, you know, I don't know the other teams. I'm just saying, like, I do not portray myself as a soccer expert at all. But I'm playing fantasy soccer to learn more. I want better knowledge of the other teams. I want better knowledge of just how the game works. Will you be in this league with us?
Absolutely. And Jason made a great point out in the bullpen. Play FIFA. Mm-hmm. Play FIFA. I'm serious. You would be surprised how many kids and adults play FIFA and how much you will learn about MLS.
It's almost like you were listening to a previous segment because we were talking, got onto video games, and Rick asked me if I play FIFA, and I said no. And I said, if Atlanta United's on there, I'll go get it this weekend. And everybody said Atlanta United's on there, so I guess I got to go make a purchase. I'll put back the 12th pair of Miami Hurricane shoes, and I'll go ahead and buy FIFA this weekend.
Mike, congratulations again. We're happy for
Appreciate
you. And congratulations to Atlanta United fans, because they have the best broadcast team in the biz with Conti and Longshore.
The best radio deal in the biz. This is the biggest radio deal Major League Soccer.
Really?
You know, a lot of cities do not get this level of coverage that 92.9 is going to provide for Atlanta soccer fans. So that's a big reason why Atlanta United is a huge deal.
Well, it's out on Twitter as well. Mike Conti, Jason Longshore, our new radio play-by-play voice for Atlanta United. We read between the lines next with Waffle House's own Mark Owens.
And coming up next, you could be a Jeopardy champ. Plus, it's Friday. Yes! We got the Week in Review. That's all next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're always looking to improve.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.